Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coaching Coordinator Podcast. I am joined today by Texas State Champion, head football coach at Allen High School, Terry Gamble. Coach Gamble won his first state championship as a defensive coordinator at Allen in 2008. He went on from there to coach at Waco Midway for six seasons, was 68-13 there, has been back now at Allen for 2 years, and in 2017, as I mentioned, he won the state championship. So, Coach, we're excited to talk ball with you here today, and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having us, and great pleasure to share anything that we can with y'all.
Coach, let's go into your background first. You know, for you, what was the pathway to becoming a coach, and you know, when did that develop? When did you decide you wanted to be a coach?
I remember it like it was yesterday, which was a long time ago, but I was in eighth grade. We had basketball practice sitting on the gym floor, and our coach was talking to us, and I said, I'm going to be a coach. And then I had a great experience in high school playing, and my high school coach, Joe Boring, he's a three-sport letterman from Texas A&M. He's one of the few. He's I think there's only 11 of them. He's in the Texas Sports Hall of Fame. And Coach Boring, after my senior year, allowed me to help with spring football. So been kind of coaching ever since high school, went to college and played football at Tarleton State, and stayed an extra year in G8 there. And then Coach Boring hired me back at Garland High School and started my career.
Coach, for you, you know, the difference from being a GA in your first year to, you know, becoming an assistant on a high school staff, what was that transition like, and what differences did you see between those two experiences?
Well, when I was GA and I got to actually coach a position, I was able to coach the defensive ends. And then when I came back to high school, I started coaching ninth grade football and was the head boys soccer coach and did not know anything about soccer. So I had to learn a lot about that. And just, you know, you're in a transition period of going to class. Now I'm teaching class, learning everything that it takes to be a really good coach, from being prepared and how you manage your time in the classroom, and then get to out and get prepared to coach and teach, and just a lot of responsibilities that go into it daily that you do not have as a college student. So student teaching prepares you, but at the same time, it's an eye-opener the first year, and then you go through your first year and you learn the things that you can do better, and you take that and you improve, and you visit with coaches, and you start learning how to be and what it takes to really be a good coach and a good teacher. I think that all good coaches are great classroom teachers, and taught world history at that time, and so you spend really more time in the classroom than you do actually coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, I know early on in my career when I became a teacher, I was like you. I was coaching some other sports. For me, you know, and it was baseball and basketball, and I knew some about both, but I had never coached them. And for me, though, the experience was about coaching and learning more about the kind of the art of coaching, you know, not thinking about what sport it was, but, you know, dealing with players, player-coach relationship, all those types of things. As a young coach, how valuable was that experience for you, even in something like soccer?
Well, I mean, to me, anything that you're doing that you gain experience through is very valuable, because when you gain the experience of being the person in charge of that team, then that allows you to have those experiences that will help you down the road.
And then how long was it till you became a varsity coach?
After that first year, the second year, I became a varsity coach. Our coaching staff changed at Garland High School. Coach Boring left at that time, and then they brought in their coach, Scott Smith, and I started as a varsity coach then in the defensive secondary.
And I know for a lot of young guys, they look to make those jumps as soon as they can, and they want, you know, the title of coordinator and those types of things. What would you say you did in that first year that, you know, earned you that spot to be able to move up to the varsity staff?
Well, I think a lot of times it's timing. Being at the right place at the right time has a lot to do with it. And then at the same time, I think you just try to be prepared so when the opportunity arises and gives you that opportunity that you're ready for it. That's the main thing. To me, timing has a lot to do with it, and then being totally prepared that you're ready to accept that position by studying and doing everything that you can to be really good at what you coach.
I know, like, early on in our careers, and sometimes later in our careers, you know, we make some mistakes or we fail in some way. What's a mistake you made early in your career that taught you some valuable lessons moving forward?
Well, I think it's all about how your relationships with your kids and how you handle kids. You know, number one thing, I think, is show them how much you care. And the more you care about kids, and I don't think anybody can really be in the coaching profession unless you love kids. And once they know that you care for them, I think they'll do anything in the world for you.
Would you say, you know, when you started your career, that was the focus for you? Or was it, you know, more on the knowledge of the game and becoming an expert at the X's and O's?
Well, I think that you've got to have both. I mean, I really think that the knowledge can help you become a better teacher. At the same time, I think just showing kids how much you care about them, talking to them about what's going on in their lives, showing them things that will help improve their lives daily, I think that helps. And I think kids, they can see how much you care about them.
Coach, then you moved on from being, you know, a varsity assistant, eventually working your way to a defensive coordinator position. As a defensive coordinator and kind of taking the reins for the first time, you know, what were some of the things you remember in that first year that were, you know, a challenge to you, and how did you overcome it?
Well, you know, you think you're ready to assume those type of positions, and I thought I was really ready. But as it gets going, you find out, you're like, wow, I probably wasn't as prepared as what I thought it was. So the big deal when you get into those type of roles and you find out real quick, it's not about you.
Right.
It's about the team. And it's the same thing as a coaching staff. So you better rely on your coaches and get input from your coaches and do it as a group. And even though you may have the title, that's far from it. That's just some little title. That's not what really happens. It's the whole coaching staff and the players buying in together to accomplish the same goals. And you got to do it as a team. There's no way. In the game of football, one person, I don't care how much success you have, you're not going to accomplish anything without great players and great coaches.
Absolutely. And I think the key to that title is, you know, coordinate means to bring together. And I think, you
right.
know, young coaches and obviously, you know, social media, all those things, we see these guys on TV who are just brilliant strategists. And we, I think, mistake the idea of being a coordinator means you have to be the guru and have all the answers. And it couldn't be further from the truth in your role as a coordinator. Certainly, you need the knowledge. You have to have the vision for where you'd like to go. But it's not a dictatorial role, and it's not a role you can micromanage. Like you said, you really have to bring the staff into it.
That's right.
Coach, so as you move on from there, won a state championship as a defensive coordinator. You became a head coach and spent 6 years at Waco Midway. What was the program like there when you took it over?
Well, it was a very good program. Coach Bechtel had done a great job. They had been into the playoffs. And so coming in, you want to try to do things your way, but at the same time, I had a lot of respect for Coach Bechtel and his staff and his program, and then you just take it one day at a time, and you start working towards the things that you try to improve in the direction that you want the program to go. And I think you've got to really emphasize with kids about their education, about doing the little things right, about just how to go about what are we going to accomplish today, and focus on that one thing. If I'm in the classroom in math, I want to focus on that. When I get to athletics, we're going to focus on that. And then you just start building on that. and working towards those goals. And back then, we put kids in question mark T-shirts. If they were failing a class, if they were making all A's, they were in a colored shirt that had Midway on it. If they were an A, B, C student, then they were in a different colored shirt. So that's how we attacked the classroom back then. And just showing them how all of this is going to form and get our football team together. Just little things. And our coaches did a great job there at Midway of holding our players accountable in the classroom, on and off the field.
Coaches, you know, I know this is probably a part of it, but what you just mentioned there, is that the overall mission of your program and I guess philosophy and how you're going to attack things?
Yeah, when I came back here to Allen, Coach Joe Martin, I had worked under him, and then he took the assistant executive director's position with Texas High School Coaches mm-hmm. Association, and then Coach Westerberg got the job. And we'd always been using the saying, we will win, and that's winning in life, everything that you do. So as I was coming back, I wanted to see how we could add to that, so the kids could have something every day to hang their hat on. And while I was down at Midway, we called it BAM. So that's be a man in everything that you do. And so coming back, I wanted to still use the we will win, and then BAM, be a man. So how are you going to be this man? And the way that you've got to be a man is you've got to care. And so on Mondays, it's Championship Monday. Tuesdays, it's all about your attitude. Have a great attitude, an attitude of a winner. And then Wednesdays, it's all about your responsibilities. And if you're a responsible person and you take care of your business on and off the field in the classroom, you're going to have success in life. And then Thursdays, all about effort. And the word effort means what kind of effort are you going to do on and off the field, classroom, everything. And then on Fridays, we will win. And I think by having that in your life, you have a chance to win in life. If we can win in life, we can win a whole lot of football games.
Coach, obviously that's something that drives the culture in your program. As you're looking at, obviously a big word today is culture, and I think a lot of people certainly right. value how much that is going to help the success of your program, is having, you know, a championship culture, like you mentioned, and that idea behind right. we will win. What role does your coaching staff take in doing that? Because just like being a coordinator, you know, you have to rely on those guys to be able to execute those things and make sure the guys are you know, bought in and moving forward in one direction.
Well, the coaching staff's the key. Here at Allen, our coaches meet once a week with their players on character development. And so every week in the off season, they're meeting with their players. And so what we're trying to do is develop a culture that they can live by the rest of their life about how to do things. Other things that they'll do is build a resume, learn to tie a tie. Just the little things that hopefully when they end the day of playing football, then they're going to be highly successful. The way we look at it here in Allen, from grade 7 through their senior year, that's 6 years of a person's life. And if our program is worth anything, then hopefully we've had an impact on that young man's life for 6 years. So hopefully the game of football will show them about how you work hard, how you are committed to a team, not an individual, how you have goals about doing things the right way, and making sure that you're living your life the right way and doing those things and making great choices. To me, the game of football is the greatest teaching tool that we have out there. Education is unbelievable. English, math, history, science, all of that. But when we're talking about teaching a person how to do things the right way from a life standpoint, I don't know of a sport that can teach it better than the game of football. Education, there's no question. Once you get an education, you never can lose it. So if you get a college degree, you have that the rest of your life. And you've got a chance to be successful. But I think the game of football, from a life standpoint, teaches you more about life.
Coach, I'm really interested in learning more about your weekly meetings that your assistant coaches have. First of all, the topics of those meetings, is that something you guys discuss as a staff, or do you leave it up to them to kind of see what that group needs?
Each coach does their own. That way they have a freedom and they understand their players. They interact with them daily, weekly. So they know what their position needs. And I'm going to tell you now, a lot of them are powerful. One of the things that they've talked about in the past is what's the hardest thing you've had to overcome in your life. And when you put that out there in front of kids, you'll find out all kinds of stories. Mm-hmm. One of the toughest ones, when I told the coaches, when you do this now, you may need to go first because it's probably going to get emotional. You're going to hear stories that you never thought you would hear from our kids, and about a young man living in a car for 2 weeks, about a young man maybe losing his brother at an early age. You hear all types. So what it does is it allows each of those kids to understand that they've all had to overcome things in their life and that they can overcome it and they can learn how to handle those situations. And then at the same time, the coach learns a lot about his players.
Coach, with, and obviously those are powerful things, how do you guys make this work from a, you know, a logistics standpoint? When are you having these meetings? Where are you having them? And I'm sure you have multi-sport guys. You know, how are you able to bring those guys into
it? It's our kids in our off-season program. If they're in another sport, then they're in that sport. We can't meet with them at that time because their schedule's really – they just don't have a whole lot of time in their schedule.
Right.
A lot of our coaches might do it before school or after school or some part of the day that helps from a time standpoint for everyone that's involved in it. So a lot of them meet before or after school.
From there, Coach, as you start to – you know, move things towards the season. Obviously, you're doing this in the off season. How do you continue building that culture, you know, in your preseason all the way into what you do throughout the season?
The main thing is that we've talked a lot about that. So the question I've got to throw back at you now is, have you ever had a bad day?
Oh, yeah.
So you just lied to yourself. And this is where we start building it. Nobody has a bad day. You have a bad moment.
Right.
And it's just like the game of football. So we show them you may have a bad play, so that's a bad moment. That doesn't mean you've had a bad game.
Right.
Just like in the classroom, if I go to math and I had a 65 on a test and then boom, I'm out of math class. Next class is English and I scored a 95. Well, that does not mean so you had a bad moment.
Right.
Because you're for you to be successful, you've got to go through bad moments. That doesn't mean that we've had a bad day. So now how are we going to handle it daily? How are you going to handle it for the rest of your life when you get married, you have a family? How are you going to handle it when we start this off season? We won the state championship last year. So does that mean we're going to win the state championship again? No. We're going to start with our off season program. We're going to go through off season, then we'll go through spring. And then we'll go through our summer, and then we start into our camp for preparing for the season with our practices, and then we start our season. So you've got to go through all of this to form a football team that's after a goal. Now, you can't do it thinking that every day is going to be perfect, but all these bad moments teaches you lessons to how to be successful in life. And it's the same thing whether I'm a business owner of my own business, there's going to be bad moments.
Mm-hmm.
So once you figure out that those bad moments will not destroy you, they help you, and it's how you handle it and how you push forward.
That's the beauty of that's the beauty of our sport, Coach, is that it presents those moments all the time. You
that's
know,
right.
And
yep.
And I had a coach who I worked for, and I didn't understand this right away. I was a younger coach at the time, towards the beginning of my career. Something would happen, bad on the field, fumble the ball, throw an interception. And, you know,
right.
He was the first guy greeting those guys coming off the field saying, so what, so what, so what? And
yep.
I thought, what do you mean, so what? You don't care. But the idea was not just so what, but so what now? What are you going to do? How are you going to be respond to this? And that's what the game, you know, when you think about it, the game presents that. It teaches teaches you, you know, like you pointed out there, it's not about, you know, this is a bad game or it's the bad moments. And it's a teaching experience.
That's right.
And obviously, we do want to win. We want to come out on the winning end on that scoreboard. But regardless of what happens, there's all kinds of lessons in the game, in practice, and all the things we do to prepare for it.
That's right. I mean, it's all how you handle, and it's kind of, you know, you're living in the moment. So what's going on right now during this moment? So how do you handle it? And the people, when you're dealing with high school athletes, I think a whole lot of that has to deal with that is their maturity. The ones that are more mature than the others handle situations a whole lot better. And it's just like when we were all young, we didn't handle every situation the right way. So the more you learn, knowledge is one of the greatest gifts that we are able to obtain. And the knowledge that you are able to have in your life, then you react differently. Your experiences in life allows you to, hey, I've handled this and I can move forward.
Absolutely. Coach, you have the unique experience of having coached your son, and now Cody is on the staff. Talk to me a little bit about, I guess, how that developed. I'm a son of a coach as well, and that certainly drove me to want to coach. And, you know, later I had the opportunity early in my career to coach with my father. But what is it like on the other side, being the dad and having your coach come through as a player and now a coach?
Well, I mean, first of all, we've been very blessed, me and my wife, Cindy. We've got a great, great family. We've got three great kids. All three have college degrees. All three went down to Texas State University. They never gave us a discount, but that's the way it worked out. Cody, our oldest, now coaches with me, played baseball down at Texas State and played football and baseball here. My middle son, Chase Gamble, also played football and baseball here. And now he's in the business world. He's the smart one out of the family. He got a finance degree, and he works for CBRE. And then my daughter, Casey, was a cheerleader in high school and college down at Texas State. And she teaches first grade here at Allen. And then my wife is a math teacher, and she's in charge of the cheerleaders here at Allen. So Friday nights, we're all in. I mean, it's everybody's involved in the Allen program. And that's kind of the way it's been our whole life. As our kids were growing up, sports has played a very big role in it. But we've been very blessed. God has really just allowed us to be parents of three great children. And it's just been a blessing. Got two grandchildren, two granddaughters Cody has. Two baby girls, and those are really neat too. Being a grandfather is a whole lot easier than being the dad. So, but it's neat coming to work every day, seeing Cody and how he's developed into a young man that he has, a father, and being a role model to these kids. He's a really good teacher. He does a great job over there. And that's not my dad. That's things that I've heard from principals and people like that. He's already gotten his master's degree. He's knocked that out. And then he comes to work every day totally prepared, kind of like he did when he was a player. I mean, it's different than having your kids play for you, Cody and Chase, and now he comes to work. But it's neat to see him every day and how he's developed into that coach and that role model that you would love to see. Couldn't be more proud than all of them. Just get to work with Cody on a daily basis. But it is a blessing, and we've been very, very fortunate to have great kids. Like I said, it's just a great blessing.
Coach, let's shift gears here and take things, move things out onto the field. So, you know, taking a look at what you guys do as teachers of this game and looking at, you know, the opportunities you have, you know, meeting time or whatever it might be before you hit the practice field. What are some of the best things your coaches do that help your players get out on the field and execute like you need them to?
Well, you've got to have the time to sit down and meet as a coaching staff. And here at Allen, our administration has allowed us to build into our day to where we have that time to meet, to be able to go out and be great coaches. Same thing in the classroom. They meet with their departments so that they can be well planned. So to me, for you to have a great practice, you've got to have a great plan. And when you're allowed that time, which the administration staff here has allowed us to do that, we are able to go out and do a great job on the field. Without that time, then it would be not as good. The planning is the key, and everyone being on the same page. Because when you go to practice, the way that you have great practices, you got to have great tempo. And so the tempo has got to be at a high level to where we practice at this level, and then the games will seem slower. So our administration staff does a great job. We've got great leadership. Our athletic director, Steve Williams, has been here for 43 years, and he understands about the Allen program. This is the only place he's ever been. So without his leadership, you know, it just allows us to do our job.
Yeah, absolutely. That definitely is important, having that kind of support in the program. What's the expectation of your assistant coaches, of your coaching staff, as far as the way, I know there's going to be all kinds of different styles and how they do it, but as teachers, what's the expectation in how they're going to develop their players?
You go to practice, you got to be totally prepared. I mean, to me, it's all about being prepared, having drills set up, be totally organized, and then demand from the players that they do it right. Don't let little things slide.
Mm-hmm.
We had a plus 31 turnover ratio this year, plus 31.
Wow.
College coaches have come through and said, wow, and a couple of them that stuck out. So how do you obtain those goals? You focus on the little things, ball security, tackling, creating turnovers. Doing those types of things allows you to have success on Friday nights, because success just does not happen by showing up. So you've got to earn it. That's one of the things that I've talked to the kids about it going into this year. We've got to earn the right to be a starter. So if you're a starter on offense or defense, then you've got to earn it. You've got to earn the right to have a good football team. We've got to earn the right to win our first football game. You can't go out and do anything in life unless you earn it. It's not going to be given to you. I've got to earn the A in my math class. I've got to earn the right to be a great person. You have to work at that. And so it's all about earning it.
Absolutely. Coach, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you a little bit about that plus 31 number, because I know a lot of guys, they're running, you know, for example, in practice, they're running ball security circuits, or they're doing a tackling and takeaway circuit. Guys know how to go through practice of it, the motions of it. What is it that really allows you guys to get what you're wanting and focusing on the field? How does that look for you in practice, that it translates to a plus 31 in the games?
Hold kids accountable. Hold kids accountable. I think when you're held accountable, your focus is on top of every little detail. And if you don't hold kids accountable, then I don't know how you can be successful. I think it's all about holding kids accountable. And that takes work. Now, there's a lot of people that don't want to hold kids accountable in certain areas. But if you hold kids accountable in everything that they're doing, then their focus is on doing it the right way.
Mm-hmm.
For us to do it the right way, well, you got to hold them accountable.
With that accountability, is that something you track in practice? Are you charting the number of takeaways,
most
turnovers?
Definitely. Most definitely. And if you turn the ball over, you owe us. You turn it over on Friday night, they know they're going to owe us.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you have a 15-yard penalty that's a personal foul, you're going to owe us on Saturday morning. It's all about accountability.
Coach, as you look at you know, your offense and defensive systems, what is it you think about those, you know, that maybe set you apart from other teams, or, you know, are a little bit different, I guess, unique in your own way?
One of the things is we've got great players.
Always important.
We have really, really great players. And when you have great players, that allows you to be more efficient on offense and defense. It allows you to do things that some teams may not can do because of the athleticism. And first, I think it starts with players. I'm not naive. for you to win a ton of football games, you've got to have great players, and those great players have got to go out and execute. So to me, it would be all about great players and then having great practices, and then come game time, do not have more turnovers than the other team, mm-hmm. and do not allow big plays, have more big plays. Those are the two areas we work on, and like a lot of coaches. But to me, I know as well as anybody, players help you have a better football team.
Absolutely.
I mean, coaches can coach. Mm-hmm. I mean, these days you're not going to out-scheme very many people. I mean, when it gets down to it, a player's got to go make a play.
Coach, speaking of schemes, just give us an overview. What kind of offense and defense do you run?
We were based out of a 4-3 on defense, and then offensively we're very, very multiple.
You guys spend a lot of time in the gun, or are you still under center?
No, we're in the gun all the time.
How much has RPO become a factor in what you guys do?
It's tough. I mean, you've got to defend it, and you've got to have some of it in your game plan weekly. So it's a really tough deal. Defensively, defensive coaches hate it. Offensive coaches keep using it to their advantage. So, but yes, we do have to defend it, and yes, we do it. So,
as a defensive guy, what's been some of the things you've liked to do to stop the RPO?
Well, I mean, to defend it, a lot of times is if you can get into the quarterback's face very quickly, then that makes it hard on him. The other thing is, from a defensive standpoint, it's kind of like old school option. Everybody's got a responsibility. Now do your job. And if you'll have that in mind, quit worrying about this or that, do your job, and then that'll allow us to have a great defense.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit back more to defending option and responsibilities.
That's right.
Well, great, Coach. Coach, to wrap up here, last question I have for you. I know you're doing just a lot of great things in your program that you talked about today. What would you say has been the one thing, you know, if you had to pick one, which was critical to your success and help give your team the winning edge?
Well, I think it's how fast you can become a good or a great football team. Now, I don't know when that's going to occur, mm-hmm. but I think it's everything that goes involved in it for you to have that opportunity. But I think it's all about kids caring about each other, what they do on a daily basis from being consistent, and just like living your life. I mean, how great of a person are you going to be today? And how many days can you be that great person? So to me, it's all about how you relate it to life and how you live your life. I mean, God's given us a great mind and body. Now, how are we going to go about doing it? And the bottom line, you know, at the end of the day, we want to give him the glory. So it's all about God and how he has created us. Now let's go make a great example for him. So let's go do that in a great way.
Coach, I appreciate you taking the time. How can our listeners contact you if they're interested in learning more about some of the things you do?
Terry, Terry.Gamble, GAMBILL, at AllenISD.org.
Coach, it was great to talk ball with you here today. I appreciate you taking the time, and best of luck to you and your team in 2018.
Appreciate the time, and thank you for allowing the Allen Eagles to be on your broadcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.